Jai Sachidanand. I bow to the Supreme Lord, the absolutely enlightened one that resides within you all with a sense of total devotion and oneness. We start with the three mantra, which is on your page 3 of this book. We will recite it 3 times. These 3 mantras represent the original mantras way before people divided their religions into Hinduism, Jainism, Vaishnavism. The original founders of this religion never intended that to happen. And so again, we come back to unite them. And the 4th mantra at the bottom is for the rest of the world. Jai Sat Chit Anand. Namo Vitragai, Namo Arihantam, Namo Siddhanam, Namo Ayariyanam, Namo Vatsayanam, Namo Loe Sabhasahunam, Eso Panchana Mukkaro Sabva Pava Panashanu Mangalanam cha savesim padhamam havai mangalam. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namah shivaya. Jai Sachidanam. Namo vitragaya. Namo Namo Siddhanam, Namo Ayariyanam, Namo Vatsayanam, Namo Loe Sabhasahunam, Eso Panchana Mukkaro Sabha Pava Panashanu Mangalanam cha savesim padamam havai mangalam. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namah shivaya. Jai Sachidanand. Namo vitragaya. Namo Namo Siddhanam, Namo Ayariyanam, Namo Vatsayanam, Namo Loe Sabhasahunam, Eso Panchana Mukkaro Sabha Pava Panashanu Mangala Savesim Padamam Havai Mangalam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Jai Sachidanam. Jai Sachidanam. We used one mantra to encompass all of these at the beginning. We said, Namo Vitaragai. Vita, V-I-T-A, means without. Ra means attachment. And therefore, I bow down to the one who is without any ra, without any inclinations or even the subtlest tendencies to move away from the bliss of the self. Nothing in the relative world, in the phenomenal world, in the external world pulls him, inclines him towards that. such a one is within us. Such a one is your real state. You are the Vitarag. You are really beyond all attachments and aversions and abhorrences. You are the Absolute Enlightened One within. The problem is, you have been covered with a very thick pot of karma, of ignorance, not worldly ignorance, ignorance of who you really are, ignorance of the self, S, capital S. What is your good name, sir?
Victor.
Victor. I am Victor is I am the self, small s, small self. And then there comes a time when by some grace, not the whole pot over this fully enlightened being that you are, is removed. It happens only in very, very special jnanis, when the whole pot is shattered and the light of 1,000 suns get illuminated from within, and that is called spontaneous enlightenment, which happened to our Lord Ramana and happened most recently in 1958 in Surat, Gujarat, India, to our Gnani Purush, Dada Shri. Paths were a little different. He is relevant for the current path. He is relevant for the current times. When Ramana was around, there was some degree of energy remaining within these human beings, to the point where they were able to do certain things in terms of self-inquiry and really do the Purushartha, which is the independent energy of the one who is awakened or the one who wants to awaken. There is two different things. But the one who wants to move towards the S capital self, the one within, his energies are so magnificent, so phenomenal, so infinite. Yet the one who is covered with this layer of ignorance, the karma, the agnanta, the avidya, he is simply not aware of the blissful, energyful, knowledge-filled, vision-filled state of his own, and therefore he looks outside for it. He starts looking for, where is that energy? Where can I find the blissful one? Where can I find the all-knowing one? Where can I find the all-energized one? So that maybe he can give me a little bit of a light, a little bit of a direction of, have I come to the wrong person? Have I come to the right place? Have I come, what shall I do, my enlightened guru, so that I too may find what you have? And it becomes very relevant when such a person is sitting there live in front of you as we are live. There is a tremendous energy that happens in connections between live human beings, the living connection. And when that living connection is not there, then one is left with only the books and the scriptures and the vaya-vaya approach, because once such a master leaves this world, he leaves the energy of his words in the scriptures, which have some meaning. However, the nature of the human intellect is such that it distorts it. Unknown to him, he distorts it unknowingly, and without any overt agenda, he distorts it. And therefore, whenever the intellect creeps in, then the message is all muddled up. And when the intellect comes in, the ego arises, and the ego creates a barrier, and the transmission is lost. The transmission does not happen. whenever you're trying to say something to somebody else and if he doesn't receive it, then there is only one reason for it. You will say, oh, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. He's not with me. He's not receiving it. Answer, no. This is the totally wrong approach. There is something that is associated with your words that raises a barrier within him. So if you are trying to communicate anything to anyone in this life, especially in spiritual matters, and if he doesn't get it, then the fault, if you want to accept the fault, lies within you only. There is something within you that rises along with the words, and that is called the ego-intellect complex. And that subtle ego is the one that prevents the transmission. Now this vitarag, namo vitaragai, which we used, we're saying that all of these categories of people that we are going down to are really the vitaragas. They have no attachment. Vita, without. No rag, and the opposite of rag, attraction, is dvesh or abhorrence, aversion. And these are the extremes on the two ends, and in the middle are the spectrums of a little distaste and a little liking, and then liking and not liking at the gross level, and then at the subtle level, a subtle inclination, a subtle pull that wants you to go in that direction and to move away from that direction. And in the world of duality, until one has attained the self, and not attaining it in the complete shattering manner, let's come back to the analogy again. You are, imagine a 1,000-watt bulb, 1,000-watt bulb full of light. That's what you are. That is the infinite energies, the infinite vision, the infinite knowledge, and the natural associated bliss of the infinite self. You, that's what you are. But that 1,000-watt bulb is now covered with a huge black dark pot, so that on the outside, which is this body complex of thought, speech and actions, that the world identifies as Victor, or what's your name, ma'am?
Parvati.
Parvati. Or Victor or Parvati. Parvati's world is absolutely oblivious to this beauty that exists within. With nobody, everybody just pointing, saying, yes, you are it. Thou art that. Tat. Ma tatvam asi, tatvam asi. You are that. Seek and you will find. Inquire and you will find. Seek in which, get to the state where there are no thoughts, so you will experience it. And it continues. Because nobody can shatter or even make a little tiny pinhole on that covering. See, we come to you in this introduction of this Akram Vignan with the message of the Gnani Purush. The message of the Gnani Purush, Sachidana, who has not only experienced the total shattering of this entire covering of the pot of karma, or what is called veils or avaran, multiple folds of veils, gnan avaran, knowledge obscuring avaran of karma, vision obscuring karma, darshan avaran, mohani of karma, that which deludes you, so starts making you believe that I am really Parvati. Behaving in the world of the eternal as the world of the perishables and the mortals, I am Parvati, I am Victor, moving about, dying a continuous second by second death, whereas that is not meant to be. The express reason for this particular birth, the express reason to arrive at even the most punyashadis, the most merit karma laden people come to this question of who am I? Out of millions of previous lifetimes, when you come to this question of who am I, you have arrived at the door, but it is still not enough. You still need somebody to open the door for you. And many times you have, in previous lifetimes, you have come across such gnanis, living gnanis, who have looked you in the eyes and said, please come in, and yet something came over you, your intellect, your judging, your judgments, your sense of I know, your sense of I can do it by myself, and you know, your sense of still a little bit of wanting to get back there to taste more of the pleasures and consequently the pains in life, and therefore you walk away from him. But there is something very beautiful that holds us, because having once come to a level of asking the question of who am I in a previous life, there comes a time when, if your merit karmas are of that order and are supportive, then the merit karma of the highest order will express to the level where your time has come, where somebody will open the door for you and let you enter into the realm of the eternal, never to go back again, never ever to go back again. And that time, my friends, has come for those of you who are open enough to say, I am willing to enter into that door. This is not a false promise. This Gnan Vidhi of Gnani Purush Tadashri, which we will be talking about a little bit later. Please come. And if you need to a little bit of rest, you could, yes. This Gnan Vidhi of Dadashri not only gives you a promise, but also an experience of experiential understanding and an experience of who am I, an experience that will never leave you, and also simultaneously an understanding of who is going to run the world of Parvati or Victor or your good name, ma'am?
Maria.
So, just imagine if we were all to become enlightened like this Lord here or this Lord here, this great Gnani Bhagavans. Do you ever wonder what will happen and who will run the world of this person here? If you became enlightened, do you have any questions of who will run the world of Nariyat, Parvati, or Victor? Because enlightenment means no role of the intellect or the ego in the traditional sense. No real active role of the ego-intellect complex, which makes us human beings and which just makes us move in our worldly directions, whichever ones unfold in front of us. Can't sit here forever, can't remain in the environment forever. The world will pull us in so many different directions. Your son, your daughter, your husband, your brother, your father, your mother, somebody will say, enough, come on over now, take care of me, I want you here. So then it is just not enough just to know who am I only, the self. Yes, that is the most critical thing. But having known the self, you also need to know the interactions and the understanding of whereby the external non-self and its relationship to the outer world, and how to really balance and to function with its demands with the relative world and of the relative world for towards it. So it is a balanced vision that takes you and makes you fly. It's like a synchronous, simultaneous motions of both the wings of Nishchaya, which is the realm of the self, S capital, and the interactions of the S small SELF, the victors and the Gayatris and the Siddhars and the Bharats of the worlds with the rest of the world. And this in combination is the exact flight to ultimate liberation. It is the exact flight of flying over the phenomenal or the relative world and to be able to see it as it is and to remain with the raga and to remain with the dvesha without any abhorrence, any aversion, any irritation, any affectation towards that which arises, which used to be obnoxious, painful. So no moving on the ground in the directions of pleasure and pain, but in a natural blissful state, looking at the ground below and recognizing that the self that you walked away from is engaged in the residual stuff that is happening as part of a discharging effect karma, whereas you are the awakened, aware one on the path of final liberation. We don't give you total liberation here in Akram Vignan, absolute liberation. In fact, it is not possible to become absolutely enlightened at this particular time, in this particular time of the current time cycle, in the absence of a living, fully enlightened being. Something remains incomplete. And he, this person that you see here, I will introduce him to you. His name was A.M. Patel, Ambalal Muljibai Patel. The book that you have has got a lot of details about him. Some of you may have read it, but very briefly, in 1958, he became absolutely, completely, spontaneously enlightened. In that 1 hour at the Surat railway station, as he was sitting, he attained 360 degrees of absolute enlightenment, total vision, total enlightenment, keval gnana, where he says he traversed practically every subatomic particle of this universe, saw it as it is, saw who we all are, how do we meet each other, what is this world all about, what is moksha, and what is the exact path to moksha, what is karma in its exact nature as it is charged, how does it form a surface karan sharir, which is causal body, what happens at the time of death, what happens immediately to the soul that goes into the new life with the electrical body and the subtle causal body as it enters and takes a new life, what is the precise path towards ultimate liberation, who are all of these highly evolved beings, who were they and who are they. And he connected with one such fully enlightened person, human being. But he, when he opened his eyes after 48 minutes in that total enlightenment state, he slipped from 360 degrees to 356 degrees. And he felt as if he had reached the top, raised his head above the plateau and saw it all. Absolutely magnificent. He's been asked over and over again in many, many satsangs that he gave between 1962 to 1988 all over the world. What? Tell us what happened to you. And he says, what happened is beyond words. I cannot describe it. But when I came out of it, I was at 356 degrees. And it is the effect of this time. The time is such that I could not digest the total knowledge that opened up within me, the gnan that opened up within me. But I have the absolute vision. And the absolute vision definition he has given to us, and it is applicable for all of us. And he was a very simple man. He lived in Vadodara, Baroda. One day he came out of a shower And he was still wearing his loincloth. And a gentleman was writing down everything he would write down. And he says, Natubhai, write this down. Write this down. And he said, and I will translate, whatever is happening in this world, whatever is happening in this world, whether the world can digest it or not, whether the world can take it or not, I'm paraphrasing, whether the world likes it or not, amidst its all, I am not doing anything. And if such an awareness remains continuously uninterrupted, I am not the doer of anything in that which is happening currently, then that is Keval Darshan, or absolute vision. And that vision is what he gives to all of us. I have just given you the theoretical definition of that vision, and that vision will take hold within you in this famous Gnan Vidhi of his that we have come to tell you about, which takes 48 minutes too. 48 minutes, one evening of your time. One evening of your time. And I know that many of you are new here this morning, so we will go back to some of the basics. And please, those who were here yesterday, forgive me. So, I am victor is your astitva or existence. But before even you are called I am victor, there is the I am. I am. And the moment you enter into the realm of I am, there is a bhav or an intent that happens that is not under your control. The moment you open your eyes and you're sitting, immediately you are aware of the fact that I am, but associated with it is an intention. I look at a gentleman, I say, it's a gentleman. I look at lady and I say, lady. And the vision stops there. That is the bhav. And then, depending upon previous opinions that automatically are laid down by the intellect, will say, oh, I like him. Or, I'm not so sure about her. In the ignorant state, these bhavs, these intentions, and these opinions and further opinions, beyond the opinion is either the liking or a pull, a subtle pull, an attraction towards that person, or a repulsion. And this is still happening and you have no choice. You have no choice. So I am, then I am victor because it's natural. And then an opinion of a previous impression. And if the opinion is never been laid and yet you see that human being for the first time, there is a subtle inner intent or a vibration of either a positive kind or an attraction kind or a repulsion kind or a neutral. Let's talk about the positive and the negative. Where did it come from? Where did it arise? You have never met that person before. And the answer is an unfinished account from a previous life. An unfinished account from a previous life. You have the choice of either being the observer of it, or many times you will, depending on the intensity of the account from the previous life, either you may be dragged into it or you may walk away from it if it's repulsive. But it has been happening and it continues to happen. You look back at your life from up until this point and it has happened countless number of times. And if you look at it in the antakaran, the inner working that is happening, there is an outer working of the gross mind, the words and the body functions and the body signals through the five senses, and then there is a very dynamic inner organ called the antakaran, which is the mind, the the subtle mind, sukshma man, chit, buddhi, intellect, and ego. And chit, the mind is nothing like except just like a little radar. It just sends signals. The gross mind sends the signals, the subtle mind reacts to it and says, ah, I like it. Or the subtle mind just says, just gives the initial signal. However, it is the intellect that receives it and makes a decision about it, whether or not it is beneficial to Victor or not correct for Parvati, not right, so it just moves back and forth. So the mind is one cue that comes up, and then there is another cue that is brought on by the chit. Now, chit is a very interesting complex within. Chit, Victor, can let you see instantly, even as you're listening to this conversation, your bedroom or your home, your kitchen in another country, wherever you're from. Where are you from, sir?
Russia.
Moscow?
Yes.
Okay. Good. So, instantly you can see your living room in Moscow. You are here, sitting here. You are not enlightened. You do not have even the awareness of all that beauty that lies within you. And yet your chit can instantly go to the end of the world. Chit is very positive energy. Chit is a mixture of gnan and darshan. Now, some terms you will have to get used to. Gnan means knowledge. Gnani means the one who holds knowledge. Gnani. Then gnan is knowledge, but this is worldly knowledge that you have. You have the knowledge of your bedroom in Moscow, and therefore you can go there. The knowledge is the gnan, and the other component of the chit is the darshan. You can visualize through your inner eyes your bedroom, or the face of your lover, or the face of your school teacher the first day when you went to class, who took you, the day of your wedding, who were present. And it is such a powerful thing within you that you can go very deep into it and you can start seeing, yes?
Is the chit what dreams at night?
Part of it, knowledge and vision, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, part of it. So pure chit or chit that is purified will have beautiful scenes in dreams. But it's an effect. Dream is an effect. It is not a cause. Dream is the egoless state of effect. So it's chit. You see scenes. Anything that sees scenes outside your body, Jai Sachidana. Anything that sees scenes outside your body is the chit. And recognize that all of us have the chit. Very simple example, for instance, from here, if you want to, let's take a more practical example. So far, the chit lets you see scenes outside you, and the mind has given you a cue. Just a little kind of a signal, you see? And within us, all of this thing is happening continuously, a virtual space. Nothing happens until the intellect kicks in. The intellect sees and reads the worldly profit or loss, the worldly benefit, not liberation power issues, but worldly benefit for Victor with reference to that scene and with reference to what the mind has shown. The intellect makes a decision there that I want to do this and this is good for me. And therefore the ego, which is blind, will follow through. And therefore, the ego will go there. Another simple example. Is everybody with me on this one? Any questions, please let us know. This is the inner workings. There is the outer thing and there is the inner thing. And then there is the self. There is the outer body that is sitting here receiving his own signals, signals from different parts of the body. Those signals through the five senses are taken up by the mind, which is higher than the five senses. And the chit is another analog. The difference between mind and the chit is, chit has got living components. The chit has got the energy of the self in it. But the mind is really jad, it is matter, it is a physical thing. The mind just raises a thought, and the thought that arises has no life in it until you enter it, until you decide to enter it, and therefore then it takes you away in the forest of thoughts.
So maybe we could open up for more questions than anything else about this.
So expanding on that, then does it the shift that goes to other dimensions when you're sleeping? So if you go, you're left the experience of leaving the body and going into other dimensions, is it the shift?
Yes, it is the chit that sees scenes. It can go anywhere. But the chit can only go where one has been. You cannot imagine something and then go there. Supposing you've been to New Zealand, South Island, then you can go there. And you can see all the beautiful fjords and everything. Or you've met a person, then all of a sudden your chit can go there. And the chit is what? That chit is, our Gnani calls it impure chit, because it tends to go away from yourself. It goes in the directions of pleasure, and it moves away from that which was painful. It doesn't want to go there. It doesn't want to see scenes that were painful. But it goes, keeps going towards that which, or it just wanders. But it goes at the cues of the mind, sometimes it goes independently. And then when the chit, there comes, this is called, and so the chit can go in a million different directions, anant chit, and then it becomes countable chits, and then it becomes ek chit, ek, one focused direction it goes. And that, my friends, is what happens to you in this Gnan Vidhi, Gnan, knowledge, Vidhi, that which is worth doing, that which is worth doing. In the Gnan Vidhi, the 48 minutes, at that time some magnificent grace descends upon you, and your chit becomes purified for one samai, and the Gnani defines samai as the smallest fraction of time. A second is too big. The smallest fraction of time, if your chit gets to touch the inside of this pot that we were describing, your work is done. Your work is done. A pinhole has been made into this huge covering of karma, and therefore the absolute pure light of the self comes out. And where does that light come out? It comes out on the antakaran, on this complex that is functioning as a result of last life. You've never met a human being and he walks in this room and you have certain bhav or intents for him, either it is positive or negative. Where did this come from? There is no prior impression that you know of about him in this life. You've never met him or her. Where did this come from? That is the connection, see? But we don't pay too much attention to that. That light, if you take a solid block of gold, and you make 1,000,000 slices of it, will not the 1,000,000th slice have the same qualities and the attributes as the whole block of gold? The properties will be the same, the qualities will be the same. So is the case with this pinhole light that comes out through the grace of the Gnan Vidhi, the Gnani that he does in the Gnan Vidhi for you. So I am Victor is the root cause of ignorance. And ignorance is the reason why I am Victor, I am Parvati, I am... Ma'am, what's your name?
Atma.
I'm Atma. As I'm Mariat, I'm Victor. So, even if you want to forget that I'm Victor, it's impossible. It has become ingrained. It's a handle that has been turned too many times in this direction. It is called, I am this body. I am this body. Better not touch me. Leave me alone. You see? Or touch me and be with me. Both two sides of the same coin. Both taking you away from yourself. You want to come home, but nobody does it for you. And I am Victor is ego. That is the ultimate definition of ego. And anything that happens from there onwards, egoism. But it is not just the ego, the I is associated with my also. So I plus my automatically. The moment you say I'm Victor, then this becomes my body, my friend, my feelings, my views of enlightenment, my way of looking at enlightenment, my study of the scriptures, my guru, my gnani, my world, my history, my pains, my guilt, my feelings. The feelings is not the one who says my feelings. Is he not separate from the one who is saying that these are my feelings? This shirt, this black and white shirt that you're wearing, Victor, do you say it's my shirt or I shirt?
My shirt.
My pants. You can take them off, right?
Sure.
Sure. My hand. Sometimes it cuts you without. My eyes. My heart. You get a new heart. Which one is more correct? I am Victor or my name is Victor?
Second one.
Yes. So, who is this I within? This my. I plus my is Victor, and I minus my, his definition. If you can take away the my from the I, you're left with the I. I minus my is equal to God. Is equal to God.
Can you repeat the last sentence?
I plus my is equal to your name, sir?
Fred.
Fred. I plus my is Fred. I am Fred. And if you can separate away everything that falls under mine, if you start investigating, what is it? Is this finger mine? You say mine. I never say I body, my feelings, my mind, my wife, my home, my world, my bank balance. Everything goes under mine. So I plus my is equal to Fred, Victor. And if there was some technique that you had, if there was some way in which somebody could take away the my from you, not physically, but if you could be freed from the mind, then you'd be left with I only, and that I is God. That is the ultimate and the final definition of God. That Lord, that God, is you indeed, is not up there making judgments about you.
So what is God?
Yes, which is God is verily that within Fred, in whose presence people will say, hey Fred, how are you, man? Good to see you. Very pleased to meet you. And whose absence they will be in a hurry to either bury or burn this body, because it will start stinking.
So God is then energy? Or
God is that whereby Fred is moving, thinking, feeling, talking, interacting, and in whose absence it collapses and there is nothing left. God is the self within you, the eternal energizing element in whose presence this body complex of Fred, three components, mind, speech and body, if you will, the batteries of this mind, speech and body, were charged in the last life and are discharging in this life from birth till death. Can you imagine three batteries?
But I and God is equal then.
You? Yes, yes.
So I cannot perceive God.
Yes. Yeah, you cannot perceive God, right? Yes. And why is it that you can't perceive God?
No, because we always use the term God, but I cannot perceive God.
You cannot.
So this is a little bit.
Yes, you cannot
confusing.
See. You cannot perceive means you cannot see God, because the mirror cannot see itself. You are the mirror in front of which everything reflects. But you can experience God. You can become the mirror. You cannot see the mirror. You see only your face in front when you go in front of the mirror. Mirror is the only thing that when you are in front of it, you don't see it as a mirror. You see yourself in it. Everywhere else. It's a very beautiful thing. It reflects. And ultimately the self, the pristine self that we all are, is nothing but imagine the purest mirror that was there. And as the thought comes, it reflects. As the chit shows something, it reflects. As a person comes, it reflects. But we are sitting here in front of the mirror and we have brought you the vision. This is all theoretical. We have brought you the technique and the path and the process whereby you can shift from this, the one who believes I am the knower and the seer. And when you ask him what is your name, he'll say, I'm Victor. If you are Victor, then you are not the knower and the seer. If you are behaving as Victor, if you do believe that you are Victor and you are seeing, then it is the ego that is seeing it. And this vision that opens up as the hole in the big pot and the pristine absolute light of the self coming through, in that light even the entire complex of Victor or Fred or Marriott becomes that to be known only. So the whole complex of this body complex, including everything that is happening within it, the subtlest level, comes under the light of the self. These are all theoretical concepts, I understand, but we are willing to answer questions. It's like, very much like this, if you have never tasted sugar, my friends, in your life, we can all sit here all night and keep on describing sugar to you in all its beautiful tastes and things like that. But the Gnani says, that's an intellectual exercise. Come to me, open your mouth, shall I open it? And it places a sugar cube in the mouth. Then there's nothing to be said. And that is what happens when you meet the Akram Vignani. Akram. Kram means a step. Please, you know, we are just all in here discussing openly. If you feel like if there's something that you're not connecting with, feel free to ask questions. Kram. Yes.
I have a slight problem with imagination, because I tell stories, and to learn my story, I go to the places which are in my story till I know them, so that I can actually visit them. So how do I know that I'm not imagining the chi? How do I know that it's not my mind making the picture? How do I know that the places I go in my story are as well as the places which are real? So how do I know if I'm what is real for I, and what is my imagination making certain attempts to be in the place of I.
Yes. The imagination and the pain that is associated with movement into realms that are imagined are associated with moving away from home. When you come home, even in a physical home, everything is as it is. Nothing disturbs you because that is your home. You do not have to put up with anyone else there. It is your home. In a similar manner, when you come home to the self, the first experience is that of a distinct loss of load. A load that is not real, but a load that nonetheless is felt through these intellect impressions, opinions, and issues that you cannot describe. In other words, there is an instant feeling of liberation. A feeling of liberation. But more than that, there is a very subtle sense of insulation, madam, from worldly pains. Pains that are generally experienced at the level of these thought, speech, and mind complex. A sense of pain, a sense of displeasures, sense of anything that happens in the world that creates a sense of uneasiness. So issues of worldly pain, either at the mental level or at the physical level, or externally induced pain, an immediate insulation from it, as if it is not happening to you, but happening to your good name, ma'am?
Jane.
This is Jane's. This is Jane's, not mine. Jane, this is yours. And you begin to become the Sadguru of Jane. You become the ultimate master of Jane. You are there, the ultimate friend of Jane from within. You are there to see it exactly as it is for her, because she does not have the clarity of vision of how she gets lost in the forest of her own antakaran, of her own intellect, of her own rag, dvesh, or what we call kashais. Kashais, it's a new term for all of you. Kashais means that which hurts the self, the small self, S-E-L-F. That which hurts the worldly self is called kashais, and it is in the form of attachment or abhorrence. And attachment has got two more offshoots, which is greed and deceit. And abhorrence has got two subtle offshoots, which is called pride. And to validate the pride, when the pride is not validated, the response is anger. And so any sense of the I, when it is disturbed, there is an immediate protective anger mode, whereas any sense of the greed and the pleasure, the subtle greed that goes after pleasure, when that is blocked, then the soldier of deception comes in to perpetuate that greed. So that is called moha and raga, and this one is dvesha and krodh. So in exactness, therefore, anger, greed, deceit, and pride, or krodh, man, maya, lobh. In other words, again, anger, pride, deceit, and greed. The anger and the pride issues tend to dominate in those who have a male bodily constitution, a male prakriti, a male body form, whereas the deception and the greed components are heavier in the female prakriti. But most have a little bit of both. But if it is dominant, if the anger and the pride kashais are more, then the chances are that you will have a male body. And if this is what our nannies say, and if the deception and the greed components are more dominant, and if the ignorant state continues life after life, the chances are that in the next life you will end up with a female body. But this is constantly happening within, and really there is no escape from it. So in answer to your question, immediately after Nan, all worries, Jane, go out of the window. Any worries now, ma'am?
No.
Good.
I'm in a really good state, thank you.
Huh?
I'm in a really good state, thank
you. Beautiful, beautiful. All right. Instantly in the Jnanvidhi, one becomes Vitta Dvish. Vitta means without any aversion or abhorrence. You forgive the one who has tormented you, probably for a whole lifetime. There is a sense of total forgiveness, a natural forgiveness, because the bliss of the self has arisen. You have come home. You have come home to an experiential awareness and understanding of who you really are. You are not Jane, Mariette, Victor, Parvati, Atma. You are the self. And that is coming home. It's not enough yet. It is like the beginning in the Jnanvidhi of this Jnani Purush Dadashri. Imagine just a pinhole that has been made in this whole pot of covering. You're still left with the interactions of Jane or Victor, because here you are all of a sudden lifted up from the life of Victor. Yet Victor's worldly interactions will continue. The people that Victor will meet may be ignorant or enlightened. And a little bit of both, and there will be people who will come to extract, it's like a rare accounts from Victor. There will be people who have come to give pleasure to Victor, and there will be the people who have come to give pain to Victor. But not being Victor anymore and being the Sadguru, the enlightened one within, the Jnani, if you will, for Victor, the light will be always be there, so that every time Victor acts up, the light prevails, the knowledge prevails. So it is through knowledge only that you stop bumping into things. If this room was very dark and we were made to walk in it, we will bump into each one, would we not? What is it that prevents us from clashing or bumping into people and human beings? It is this light. So we gently pass. And in life, we all come across people who are obnoxious and who want to clash with us. And we decide we don't want to clash, and they still keep clashing. And we tolerate it to a certain extent. And then what do? Like typical men, like a spring, you see. You know? And this anger doesn't need to be suppressed anymore, because you move away from anger. So anger explodes is because you try to suppress it, and therefore the more you suppress it, it's sitting on a coiled spring, and when you let go, it just comes out with two or three times the force, and you have just created more difficulties with that same person. So let's take a break, please.
We're going to go more into questions after the break, so please.
Maybe you can share too, like yesterday you shared to us.
Yes, we will. We'll come back and we'll share experiences.
We'll share our experience also, yeah.
Yes, we have.
Today there are more new people.
Yeah.